Today's daf is daf Mem Beis. So we got to the bottom of Mem Aleph from Mem Beis. The Gemara, I'm discussing the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was a Shita that appeared in the Maseches Menachos, the Mishnah Menachos, that at first glance he sounded like, as long as you have even a half the matir, your mefagel only in one of the steps, that would be sufficient to create Pigel. Reish Lakish said that's not Pshat. The Pshat is that Rabbi Meir felt that if you had the machshav of pigel for the first stage, so then kola osa al das rishona osa. Whenever a person does anything, it's all based on his initial das, and since initial das was pigel on the first step, so mele that carried through to the second stage as well. But he does require that pigel has to be present in all the stages. You just don't have to articulate it in all stages. As long as it was articulated in stage one, it carries through stage two. So Gemara now is challenging this understanding of Reish Lakish. Is it really true that Kola Osa al Das Rishona Hu Osa? So the Gemara in the bottom of Mem Alpha Mabez asks, Meisive, Bamed Vamramurim, when is this all true? That when a person gives a Matana Achas, when he does one sprinkling, and it's Pigol for the entire carbon, that's only true, Bidamim Hanitanin Al Mizbeach Hachitzam. Only when it comes to the sprinklings that take place on the outer Mizbeach, and Rashi explains before you turn the page, the last Rashi in the page says, Bidomim, all the way in the bottom, hachitzonim shematana achas mataris. We know by now, when it comes to the mizbeach hachitzon, it's sufficient to just sprinkle one time. As opposed to mizbeach pnimi, you need all four matanos. Mizbeach hachitzon, you've fulfilled your obligation with one matana. So since one matana is sufficient, mifagelas ben, that could create pigel. That's all true with regard to mizbeach hachitzon. But going now on to top of membeis, the sprinklings that take place on the inner mizbech, mizbech ha-ktoris, whatever it's called, mizbech ha-hazah, mizbech ha-samim, all different names for that mizbech ha-pnimi. So when it comes to sprinklings on mizbech ha-pnimi, kigon, what are the examples? What do you put on mizbech ha-pnimi? Kigon arbaim v'shalosh shel yom ha-kippurim. There are 43 sprinklings that we do inside a Yom Kippur. Now, not all of them take place on mizbech ha-pnimi. They take place in different sections of the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash, but there are a total of 43. Before you go vital, let's look at Rashi for this calculation of 43. It's going to be relevant for Amud Beis. Rashi writes in the very top here, avadavim ha-pnimim, kigon arba'im v'shalosh yom ha-kippurim, the 43 of Yom Kippur, achas l'malav ha-shev l'mata al bein abadim, that the one up and the seven below for the bein abadim, for the dama par, and bein abadim is referring to between the poles of the aron, that was in the Kodesh Kodashim. U'kenegda midama sar, they would do the same exact thing for the blood of the goat. Harei tezayin, that's a total of 16, right? There are 8 and 8, 1 and 7, 1 and 7 each. There's a total of 16 that go bein abadim. Then you do the same exact thing on the paroches, so you double everything up now with the dam sayer dam par. That's another 16. That's 32. Then we mix the blood together, and then we pour four sprinklings on the mizbeach ktoros mizbeach pnimi. That's a total of 36. And then again, he quotes the pasuk here, "Kedechsev v'lakach midam apar u'midam asar," that they both take them together, sheyihu mu'rav, and then mix together, harei lamed vav. That's 36. Again, 16, 16, and 4. That's 36. V'shev hazals al taro harei al taro, and then another 7 sprinklings on the top of the mizbeach apnimi, other than not the corners, but the top of it, harei mem gimel. That totals 43. So back to the Gemara now. The Gemara is quoting the top line, Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Aval damim hanitanu al mizbeach ha-pnimi. The sprinklings that take place on the mizbeach ha-pnimi could go in the arbaim mishalosh shel yom ha-kippurim, the 43 of Yom Kippur, or echadasar shapar kohen mashiach, the 11 that are there. What are the 11? Well, there are 7 that go on the paroches for the par kohen mashiach, and there's another 4 that go on mizbeach ha-pnimi. That's 11. The same echadasar, same 11 shapar helm davar shel tzibur. The tzibur acts upon an incorrect horah. So that's the lacha. Pigel, bain birishona, bain bishnia, bain bishlishis, if you're mefaga, whether it's the first sprinkling, the second sprinkling, or the third sprinklings, so then Rashi explains what's rishona, shnia, shlishis. Rashi explains here that pigel, bain birishona, which refers to matano shelfnai vilifnim, going on the Yom Kippur din, that if you do the pigel on the sprinklings that take place in the Kodesh Kodashim, or bain bishni is referring to al parochas, the second set which goes on the parochas, or bain bishlish is the third set which goes on mizbeach hazav, all of those, Rabbi Meir Omer, pigel v'chayavim alav kares. If a one's mefagel in either one, two, or three stage, one would it would render pigel, and one who would eat it is chayav kares. While Chachamim Omrim, Ein Bokaris Ad Shifaga B'chol HaMatir. Chacham hold not until you have Pigul in all the different stages. All you need one and two and three to have the Machshava of Pigul. So that's the Braisa. So how is this Akasha and Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara pulls out from this Braisa, Katani Miha, we see Pigul Bein B'Rishona, Bein B'Shnia, Bein B'Shlishis, Upalik. So what's the Shaila here? Reish Lakish said that when is the Pigul according to Rabbi Meir? Depends on what your initial Das was. Meaning according to him, only if the Das Rishona, if your Mefaga Rishona, only then would the entire thing be considered Pigul. But if you had the proper Machshava during Rishona, and then Shnia, or Shlishis you had incorrect, Reish Lakish wouldn't care. Because he always goes based on Kol Ose Al Das Rishona Ose. So this Braisa clearly goes against Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin, Hacha B'Maya Skina. What's the case here? Kagon Shepigal B'Shchita Dechad Matir. What's Pigal B'Shchita? What's going on? If you take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kagon Shepigal B'Shchita. Hod the Kamar Rabbi Meir, Pigal B'Shnia Pigal. That which Rabbi Meir says, if the Kohen Mefagel, really the Kohen Gadol in this case, because we're talking about Yom Kippur, so if the Kohen Gadol is Mefagel during the second stage, Kagon Shenishbach Hadam L'Achar, Shagamar Matano Shebifnim. What happened was the Kohen Gadol brought a cow or a goat and did all the proper sprinklings in the Kodesh Kedoshim, Lufnayim Lufnim. And then he spilled the rest of the blood. So what's the halacha? Kaimalan Meseder Yuma, that's Daf Samech, Yavi Acher V'yaschil Behecha. You bring another cow and shecht it, and all that blood is used for the second stage. Uchsheshachad Es Hasheni Pigal B'Shechitasa. But while he's shechting the second cow, because he spilled the blood from the first cow, so during this the second shechting, he's mefagel. The Kama Rabbi Meir who par have a pigal sherei pigal bo ba'avoda shlema. This cow is viewed as something independent. Now, even though the rishon he had the proper machshavos, but he spilled the blood, he needs to bring a second cow now. So during the shechita of the second cow, he has machshavos pigal. That does render pigal because that's das rishona of that particular cow. We could ignore what happened before. Whenever it took place before for the cow and the sprinklings that were lefnai lefnim, that's all stored away. That was all done. We were yote, we checked it off. That's behind us now. But as he shechs the second cow, his das rishona for the second cow is pigal, and that will render the entire thing pigal and chayiv kares for anyone who eats it. So that is consistent with the understanding of Reish Lakish. So that thing of ours is ihachi. If that's the case where we're saying what it means, Rishona Shnia Shlishis is where you shecht the second cow or a third cow because the blood had spilled, so then my taima the Rabbanan. So how come the Rabbanan say in this case that you would be pater, meaning it wouldn't be pigal? If you have to shecht the second cow, if the entire Shnia, the entire shecht, second cow was shechted with pigal, isn't that considered kol hamatir of that cow? And shouldn't Rabbanan agree it should be pigal on that second cow? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Man Chachamim, who's the position behind the Chachamim? Who's the name behind them? It must be Rabbi Eliezer here. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us as follows. Hakometz, Palavona, Vaktores, Uminchas Kohanim, Uminchas Kohen Mashiach, Uminchas Nesachim. So all these are types of Menachos. If all these things, Shehikriv, Me'achas Mehen, Kizayis, Bechutz, Chayiv. So we know there's a halacha of shchutei chutz and hala b'chutz. The person shechs a kachim outside or does a haktara outside, he's chayiv. So Chachamim hold, the Tanakama rather holds here that if you're only, even if you only are makdir a kezayis of mincha or kezayis of lavona or anything else listed here, that would be sufficient for a person to be chayiv on hala b'chutz. But Rabbi Eliezer argues and says poter ad sheyakriv eskun, and not until you've exempt all of them, rather not until you've been maktir the entire mincha, the entire levona, the entire ketores. It's not sufficient to simply do a kazai. So you need the entire thing. So how does that impact us here? So if you look at Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rashi says Rabbi Eliezer, diafilu behalas chutz poter bechatzi matir. When it comes to halah b'chutz, you're exempt if you've done half a matir. Alma, we see lav avodi klal ad shiigmar kol havoda. So he says as follows. Now just jump down a few lines in this Rashi just to connect it back to our sugya now. With the first word in the line is aleh b'chutz hachanami. Even though you're right when you have to shech the second cow in our case, because the first cow, the blood spilled, so you're shechting a second cow for the next stage. So even though the shechit itself is an avodah shleima, kevan she'en avodah nigmeris b'sar zeh, or with this par levado, since the entire act of Yom Kippur is not sufficient with this cow or with this goat alone, she'en ba el lahashlim, this cow or goat coming only to complete that which is lacking, vavoda achasi shenases b'shteim. It's one avoda being done in two or three stages, three shechitas. Eina shechita chashuvos lefagel. Meaning, even though you're shechting the second cow and it's being used for a second avoda, according to a rabban, you have to look at the entire day, all the avodas necessary, and therefore, not until you've been lefagel and all cholam out there, other than that, you're going to be pater. It won't have a din of kares. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'ha'amar Rava, doesn't Rava say, Moda Rabbi Eliezer b'damim? The mission we brought that Rabbi Eliezer says, you're not chai for halal b'chutz until you've done all of the mincha, all of the levona. All the examples listed are all examples of menachos. But here we have Rava saying that Rabbi Eliezer agrees when it comes to damim, when it comes to blood, when it comes to the world of zvachim, there he agrees you don't have to be matir, you don't have to matir all of it. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, it appears in Maseches Yuma, that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Mimakam Shepasak, Misham Hu Maschil. So what's the din here? The din is, let's say a person of the Kohen Gadol, while he's doing the sprinkling, and he does one sprinkling, and then he spills the rest of it, so now you have to bring a new cow or a new goat, you could just pick up where you left off. You don't have to start, it's not a reset button where you have to start all the way from the beginning, you could continue from where you are. So if Rabbi Eliezer felt that everything was all one unit, he would say, well, you have to press the reset button and start all the way from the beginning. The fact that Rabbi Eliezer says if you did a couple of sprinklings in Yom Kippur, and then you spill the blood, and then you, let's say you did two sprinklings, and then you have to shecht another cow, you could pick up from sprinkling three and four and five, you could continue from that point. So it tells us that it's not all considered one unit when it comes to damim. So there is no raya that Rabbi Eliezer actually says the other way around, so we're still stuck now. We're stuck in saying as follows, just to get us the whole flow here. That according to the Gemara right now, that says, when we said above, that Rabbi Meir holds mefaga barishona, bishnia, bishlishis, that meant if the cow one, you spill the blood from cow one, you have to shech the second cow, bishnia. So Rabbi Meir felt if you had pigel for shnia, that would be considered pigel. So then we questioned, how can Rabbanan say that's not considered pigel? So now we're back to that question, where did Rabbanan fit into this? If you were mefagel in that second par, isn't that considered a bechol amatir, the entire cow? And shouldn't you be chai pigel according to Rabbanan? So Gemara had a suggestion that maybe Rabbi Eliezer is behind this, but even Rabbi Eliezer agrees when it comes to blood, he also acknowledges that you don't have to have the entire zvachim to be in such a way, with pigel. So Gemara says no. Ela amar Rava kigon shepigel berishona, v'shasak b'shnia, v'chazer pigel b'shlisha. This is an easier thing to understand. What happened was, so number one, your first mefaga is a case of three different stages. So what's going on here? So even though you had, it's going back to, it was either one or two or three. Now that you shecht the three animals, it's really all three stages. So what happened was, according to everyone's opinion, Rabbi Meir says, you mefagel for stage one, which was Bein HaBadim. And then for the paroches, Shasak Bishnir, you were quiet, you didn't say a thing for the second stage. But then when it came to the third stage of the Mizbech HaPnimi, sprinkling there, V'chazer V'pigel B'shlishis, so now, what's the din here? Mao the same, what would you think? Isak Adaitach Aldas Rishona Hu Mahader, so then, Pigel B'shlishis Lomali. If Rabbi Meir really felt, his whole underlying point was that all goes based on his initial das. So if he has initial das, and he articulated, because remember, according to Rashi, you have to state pigel. Pigel is only pigel when you say bepeh. He repeats this on the bottom here of the page here as well. You say bepeh, you have to articulate this. So then once you articulated berishona, so why repeat it during the stage three? If kola osa das rishona osa. The fact that he needs to repeat it stage three seems to indicate that no, for stage two, when he didn't indicate it, it wasn't pigel, because we don't carry on the das, the machshava from stage one. So again, Yitzhak Adaydech, if you were to be right, Reish Lakish, al das vishonahu midhader, pigul b'shlishis lamali, why repeat it, b'shlishis, Kamash Mom, we learn from all of this that's not the case. That even though he said a bishlishis, we say the fact that he was quiet, it's still a das machshava kemaisa. So again, this is a support for Reish Lakish. Look at Rashi just to say this very clearly. Rashi, if you look at the medium wide lines down in Rashi, not where the bold is, but the first one line is kilomar. Kilomar, v'haydi naked chazar upigo bishlishis, rabu sashminin. It's coming to teach us a chiddush. The Alpha gav the chazir upigo b'shlishis. Even though he again had to repeat shlishis and say, "I'm being mefagalis l'chutz l'smano," Amrina the shtika shnia nami adas machshava k'maisi yav. We say even though he is quiet for the second one, which may indicate that maybe it shouldn't be rendered pigal. Not true. The second stage, in fact, is going to be based on das rishona. Okay, everyone's somewhat good here. Okay, so then the Gemara asks the question. Wait a second. Ravashi says, Mide Shasa Katani. Does it say the word Shasak here? How could you come ahead and just add the word Shtika here? It doesn't say that at all. It says in the Mishnah, Pigal Bain Rishona Bain Bishniya Bain Bishlishis. There's no mention of Shtika here. So how could you add this word and create a whole new scenario that was never mentioned? So Ravashi has his own understanding of the Brisa. El Amar Ravashi, Ravashi suggests as follows. He says, Hacha B'maya Skin, and what's the case here? Kagon Shapigal Barishona Ubishniya. Is that you're mefagel for all three of them? The Mishnah says, the Braisa says, Pigal, Bain Birishona, Bain Bishnia, Bain Bishlishis. You're mefagel on all three. Not or this, or this, or this. It's actually you're mefagel on all of them. Rishon, plus in the second, and plus the Shlishis. There's Pigal in all three cases. So what's the Chiddush here? Mao the same, what would you think? Isa Kadaitach, Kola Osa Das Rishona, Hu Osa, Mehader Pigula Bechok Hadachadalamali. If Reish Lakish is really right, the Reb Meir holds that you always go based on Das Rishona, so why does the Kohen Gadol in this case have to repeat it again, Mefagel Shnia and Mefagel Shlishis? If he was just quiet for numbers 2 and numbers 3, it would have been their Memela because Kola Osa Das Rishona. So you would therefore say that we could reject this idea. Kamashmon are telling us no, even though he repeated numbers 2 and number 3, we still have that principle of saying that it all does go back to Kola Osa, Adas Rishona Hu Osa. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, can this last interpretation of Ashi really be correct, that he had Pigal on all three stages? It was Rishona plus Shnishes, Shnia plus Shlishes. Can that be really true? The Gemara ends off in a kash in the top of Amid Beis, Vaha Bein Bein Katani. Kasha. What's Bain Bain? Rashi points out in the very top here, Ha Bain Bain Katani, Dimashma O Bazu. It sounds like either Rishona or Shnia or Shlishis. It doesn't seem to imply on all of them. It doesn't sound like Rishona plus Shnia plus Shlishi, and therefore there's a kasha in understanding this whole discussion. Okay, Gemara now says, quotes a statement we saw earlier. Amar Mar, Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigal Vechayav Malav Kares, that he said the person was mefagel on any of the stages of the matanos of the Yom Kippurim, you would get one who eats it would be chayv kares. So he says, wait a second here, michti kares lo mechayiv an shikarvu kol matirav. One only gets kares. Remember, you're getting kares for eating that which is pigal. So kohen is mefagel the carbon. He has chutz lizmano in mind. So the carbon is now pigal. Someone goes ahead and eats it. That person's chayv kares. So there's a klal, though, that a person is not chayv kares on pigal unless kol matirav, unless sha'at shekiva kol matirav, until all the sprinklings were done. Which means, if let's say he's mefagel das rishonahu osa, let's assume like Reish Lakish just for a moment. So the very first sprinkling on the Bein Abadim, he has the first matana, he's mefagel, and that carries through all 43. So you have to bring all 43 Achir Komatirav for this to be considered pigal, and one who goes ahead and eats from this carbon is chayv kares. So what's the problem here? So say it's a case. So Reb Meir says you're chayv kares. So let it be that he is mefagel on stage 1, and then he was makriv, maktir, all 43, and that's why he's chayv kares. So Gemara says no. To Amar Mar, firstly, what's the proof? How do you know that when it comes to Pigal, that Pigal only is Chayv, once Chayv Kares only after all Matirav are Yikru? Because it says, Kartzas Kasher, Kachartzas Pasal. There's a hekesh between Hartzas Kasher, Hartzas Pasal. It says when it comes to Hartzas Kasher, when you bring a Kasher carbon, Yeratze, and when it says you bring a Pigal, it says Lo Yeratze. So we make a gzer shava between the two. So just like one only fulfills his obligation of a kosher carbon only after kol matirava, so too for the pasul carbon it only becomes chayv kares once you've done all of them. So the Gemara explains this. Ma hartzas kosher ad shiyakivu kol matirav. Just like one only gets his full ritzoy of a carbon only after he bring all the sprinklings properly, so too af hartzas pasul ad shiyakivu kol matirav. So too when it comes to the lo yeratze. The kares for pigol is only when you've brought all the matanos, all the matirav. So what's the problem? So we haven't seen anything wrong. Baha, kevin dechashebe bifnim pesula. So once the Kohen Gadol thought that this was a machshava pesula, he rendered it pigol for the beginning. Kemand lo adi damim. All the additional sprinklings now are adi is the Aramaic for sprinkling, for throwing. Kemand lo adi damim. It's as if he didn't do any sprinkling. And then, kihadir madi behechel, when he goes out to the hechel, which is to the parochas, to do the second stage, maya ba'alma hu deka'adi. We view it as sprinkling water. Yes, it's obviously blood, but since it's a pointless act now, because he already passed it up by doing having a pigal for the matanos in the kosher kedushim, so mele everything afterwards is just pointless and no different than throwing water into the parochas. It's meaningless, and therefore, how is that considered ad shikvu kol matirav? It's not matirav. It's mayim ba'alma.
Why would he do it?
But yeah, there's no at this point we know why is here. This is he shouldn't do it. He shouldn't do any of it.
If he realized.
Yeah, he should stop. He should stop. He should stop. And this way, knowing it's not real pigol, it's no chayv kares. But he did anyways. So we're talking about these extreme cases to extract at least certain principles. So if he goes ahead and does it, it's water. It's mayav alma. That's not considered that ad shiukavu kol matirav. So comes along. Amar Rabba. Rabba explains no. Mishkachas la barba parim ubarba siim. When it comes to four different cows and four different goats, what exactly is he talking about here? Take a look at Rashi, around eight narrow lines up. Barba parim, pigul bein abadim b'chomat nosav. So first, the Kohen Gadol, he brought the blood bein abadim in the Kodesh Kedoshim, and he had pigul in mind for all the eight matanos there. And v'nishbach hadam, and then he spilled the blood. V'shachar achad, then he shechted another one. V'izal parochas, and he shechted it and sprinkled on the parochas. V'yachad shal hakarnos, and he had another one he had to shech for the karnos. V'yachad al tarosh mizbech, on the fourth and final one for the top of the mizbech. So he had four different animals for the four different stages. Just finishing Rashi, v'chevin d'kaimolan b'seid d'yumad afsamek kulo kapar b'fnei atzma. Each stage, the aron and the parochas and the karnos and the tiara, are four different independent kaparos. Now, v'iav dinu kilchason miskasha avoda behachi. Had you done it properly without the machshava pigol, you would have been a kasha avoda. Afilu l'rabbanon. Even according to the chachamim, the pligi alayu de Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, who argue on these two opinions, the nishbach adam bem matanos. If let's say during any of the stages, in the middle of the matanos of the bein abadim, you spill the blood. That they would agree, that they argue and say you have to start again from the beginning, while Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar say you could pick up where you left off. But Bahamod, in this case, when you finish that entire stage, you don't have to start all over again. Meaning what? If you did all Bein Abadims, everything's done, all eight are done, and then Nishbach Damo, everyone agrees you don't have to start all over again from the Aron, you start from the Parochas. So each of these four stages are viewed independently. Hilkach, therefore, this is the conclusion of the stage. Halchanami, pigol shere karvo matirav shakol echad v'nigmar havoda b'chaveiro. So what happened here was as follows. When he was shechting bein abadim, when he was sprinkling bein abadim, he had in mind pigol. So bein abadim is now all pigol. So now you would say, so now if he goes ahead and takes that same blood and sprinkles on the parochas, that's my ba'alma. He says, no. He spilled the blood that was used for Bein Abadim, the leftover blood. So he goes ahead and shechs a second cow now. And that second cow, he takes the blood, which is not viewed as Maya Baalm anymore, because it's a separate type of blood. It's new, fresh blood. And when he does that blood in the parochas, he has in mind Pigel again. So that's not Maya Baalm, that's Dam. And then after doing the parochas, he spills it yet a second time. And he shechs a third animal, and it's new, fresh blood. That's not considered mayim, that's considered dam now. So he does sprinklings for that with machshava pigol. That's pigol as well. And that's how you get this case where you are at shikavu komatirav, where each stage is independent and comes from a different cow and a different goat. So comes along Rava. Rava says, you're getting too complicated here. Rava says, much simpler a case is as follows. Rava Amar, afilu tema bepar echad v'sari echad, even using just one cow and one goat, lipigula miratzeh. What does that mean? So Rashi just explains here four wide lines down, the pigula miratzeh. Ki heicha de'im chashe b'shchita karle lizrika dam hapasel hazeh karvo matir v'leretzana lipigulo. The person shechs an animal with pigul. When a person goes ahead and does the zrika later on, we still view that as being zrika's dam. I mean, just because something was pasul and pigul doesn't render the blood, doesn't turn it into water now, it's still considered blood. So here as well, even though he may have been mefagel during stage one of Bein HaBadim, it doesn't mean the sprinklings on the parochas are viewed as mai bama. It's still considered dam. Just like when it comes to shchita, if you shechta the pigul, the zrika's dam afterwards is still considered zrika's dam. So too, when the zrika's dam stage was done with pigul, the additional zrikas are still viewed as zrika's dam and not zrika mai ba'alma. And that's how you get to a case of chayv kares ad shikirvu kol matirav. Okay, you guys, still okay? Somewhat.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mar now says halfway down the Amud here. This is a little bit easier now. Arba'im v'shalosh. So we said on Amud Aleph that there are 43 sprinklings that take place in Yom Kippur. Just to review quickly, that in the Kodesh Kedoshim on the Bein HaBadim, they take the cow, Ach Samala Shevelamata. That's 8. They do the same thing for the goat. That's another 8. That's 16. Then they repeat that all on the Parochas, both with the goat and the cow and then the goat. That's totaling 32 now. We're with me still, yeah, 32. Then you mix the bloods together and do 4 on the karnos on the mizbeach. That's now 36. And then you take that same blood and sprinkle it 7 times on the top of the mizbeach apnimi. That totals 43. So the Gemara says, wait a second, are there really 43 here? Vahatanya arba misheva. Another Bryce says there were 47 sprinklings in Yom Kippur, not 43. So Gemara says, ha kamandamar ma'arvin lekarnos. Ha mikan command amar ein marvin the karnos. There's a machlokas when they got to the. Everyone agrees that when it comes to the Bein HaBadim, you sprinkle the dam sarir and dam par separately. Everybody also agrees when it comes to the parochas, when you sprinkle it, it's dam sarir, dam par separately. Everyone also agrees the last stage that the 7 on top is mixed together with the dam sarir, dam par. The debate is the stage 3, which is the karnos mizbeach. Do you mix the bloods together before that or only after that? So the Braisa that says 43 meant you mix them all together and you do only a total of 4, that's 43. But the second Braisa says, no, you don't mix them together yet. You have Dam Apar, 4 on the Karnos Mizbeach, and then separately Dam Sayer, 4 on the Mizbeach. That gives us an additional 4 that gets to 43, from 43 to 47. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Tanya, but isn't there yet a third Braisa that says, Arbam v'shmona, there are 48 sprinklings on Yom Kippur, not 47, not 43. So the Gemara says, that Braisa says, Ha'daman k'mand amar shirayim ma'akvin, ha'k'mand amar ein shirayim ma'akvin. The law is all the blood that remains from the goat and the par afterwards, it's called shirayim, it's called leftover. And when you go outside, when the Kohen Gadol steps outside to now the Azara, he's walking outside behind them, just to give you a little bit of an image here. He's walking outside, and the Mizbech HaPanimi is in the center of the Heichal. So now it's behind me. On the right side there, that which is the south, would be the menorah. The north, which is to my left, is going to be the Shulchan. And the Kodesh Kedoshim is all the way behind me. So I'm leaving now. You actually have to walk, I think, backwards out. But you're leaving now, assume it's behind me. And the Mizbech HaChiton is in front of me now. This big Mizbech HaChiton, the ramp is here. And on the bottom, there's this Yesod that starts on the southeast, which is to the right of me, where I'm standing, the southwest, rather, which is there, and wraps around all the way like that. So now, the halacha is that I take the shirayim, I pour it on that yisod that's right in front of me, that bottom part of the mizbech, I pour it over. That's shirayim. So the Gemara then says, so the one who says 48 holds that the shirayim is ma'akev, that I need to do the shirayim as part of the kapara. And that would be the number 48. But the Braisa that says 47 holds that no, the shirayim is ma'akev, and therefore we don't consider it as part of the numbers. Okay. Gemara now asks one final question before we end the daf here. Meisive. Vamed, vamemur, when is this all true? Bekimitza, bematan kli, ubehilich. When is this all true? When is what true? So right now we're going back to Reish Lakish, the sheet of Reish Lakish here, that he held again that akol osa das rishon hu osa. So when is it true that a person, there will be considered pigol, when a person has a mind for the mincha? Only in the stage of kimitza, or the stage where he put the kmitza in the kli, or while he's carrying the kmitza towards the mizbeach. At that stage, it's enough to have a pigul just for the kmitza alone. Aval bala laktara, if he's doing the haktara, which the haktara is going to be not only the kmitza, but also the lavona, so then the lachiz nasan es hakometz b'machshava ves halavona b'shtik. If he does kmitza with the machshava pigul, and lavona, he's quiet, or shenasan es hakometz, or he does the kmita first, quietly, v'shalavona b'machshava, but then the second stage, when he puts the lavona on the mizbeach, he has machshavas pigol, Rabbi Meir Omer, pigol v'chayav malav karisi. He says you're chayav karis in this case, and chachamim hold that Omer ain bo karis ad shifaga b'chalamati. He says, no, until you have both pigol on the kmita and lavona, that she does chachamim, but we're concerned with the Rabbi Meir that holds that either you have lavona, or mincha, you don't need both of them. Before we get to the question, there's just a very, very interesting Karen Ower here who points out the following. He says that we see from here that halachas haktaras mincha is considered pigal. Because pigal only affects something that's in avoda. So we understand shchita and the Kabbalah. And so what about halacha haktara for laktara? So the fact that the beginning of the Brisa says a person's going to do kmitza or matan kli, putting the kmitza in a kli, or behilach, we see hilach. The hilach mincha, walking, carrying the mincha, is considered avoda, therefore it's subject to pigul. What's the relevance? There's a fascinating discussion here about the kvater when it comes to the bris milah. Kvater, that everyone stand up for kvater, such an inyan to stand up. So the post can try to figure out why do we stand up for the kvater. Apparently some minhagim don't stand up for the kvater who brings in the child. But so different explanations are brought there. Why do we pass it around? What's the inyan of passing around? So some say because it's just berov amah just melech. It's just a cover to the mitzvah. Just to get more people involved, it's a cover to the mitzvah. Others say no, it's actually that they're mekayim the mitzvah. There's a kiyum. What's the kiyum of mitzvah? I understand covered mitzvah, just showing honor to the mitzvah, you know, kind of, having the Sefer Torah walk around and showing covered people seeing the baby. But what type of kiyum mitzvah would there be in carrying the baby closer and closer? So some say, because the Ramah holds that the sandik is like a mizbeach, Ramah writes. And therefore you're being mocked to the baby on the lap of the mizbeach. So the halacha, like halachas haktaras of a mincha and ktaras is considered avoda, so to the kvater and passing it through would also have a din of a halicha, and therefore there's an avoda. That's the key mitzvah of the kvater. Interesting, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that those who wanted to pass on kvater, it's not enough to simply stand there and just pass it. You have to actually take a step forward to be part of the kiyum here. But just to stand and pass it over without moving, he doesn't think that's a kiyum in this idea of kvater. You have to actually be involved in contributing to bring the baby closer to the sandik, to the mizbech. Either way, back to our Gemara. The Gemara does say as follows. We see from here, though, last five lines of the page, Katani Miha. So what happens if you do kmita first, shtika, quietly, you haven't had any machshavas pigol, and then you do lavona, second stage with machshava, so then Rabbi Meir holds that you would be pigol. But doesn't Reish Lakish hold that kol ha'osa adas rishona ha'osa? So in this case, if he was shasik for the kmita, so then who cares what happens at lavona afterwards? Already he's not rendered apostle. So this is Akasha according to Reish Lakish, and therefore we're going to conclude that the understanding of Rabbi Meir is not that Kola Osa Das Rishon Hu Osa, rather it's that he holds that Pigol can even be Chal on a Chatzi Matir. You don't need the entire Matir, whether it's the first half or the second half. If there's Pigol there, it's going to be Pasul and Chayiv Kares. So comes along Reish Lakish to defend himself, he says no. Eima Kfar Nasna Salavona B'machshava. So he says, no, what happened was the order. You brought the Lavona first. I don't remember the Lachas, what comes first, what has to come first. Ideally, Kmitza comes first and then Lavona. He says, no, in this case, they brought it out of order. I'm assuming that out of order is not Ma'akev then. So Lavona was first done with Machshava, and then they did the Kmitza B'shtika. Even though the Gemara says in such a way that first, shenasnisa komets b'shtika, v'shtalavona machshava. The interpretation is im nasnisa komets b'shtika shekvar machshava kvar makti lavona b'machshava. That's how we're rereading it. In which case, lavona was first, and it is kala osa al das rishona osa. And Gemara says two questions on this interpretation. Number one is chada tainu reisha. Then that's the same exact case of the reisha. What's the chiddush? If whatever goes based on the first haktara, that's going to consider it possible or not. And number two, Od, Hatani, the Brisa says, V'charkach, not our Brisa, but I guess a different Brisa says, Nasan Zakomets, B'shtika, V'charkach, Nasan Lavona, B'machshava, and clearly V'charkach is you can't switch around to say Shekvar, and therefore there's Akasha, which sounds like in the end of the day we paskin against Reish Lakish, and the understanding of Rebbe Meir is not Kol Osa Das Rishona Osa, but instead that he holds that Pigal is effective even on a Chatzi Matir.